That's exactly.
Well, this was another.
Well, it's really those moments.
Some of those days were instead of.
Yes.
My color is pretty good.
This is worse.
I'm right. Later, I get people about this one. Yeah. I think I need to take me a few papers.
All right, we call this meeting to order. Please rise and join the flag salute. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right.
Okay, Chair Weber is here. Councilmember Morgan is here. And Councilmember Edelman is absent.
Okay. And we don't have current copy of the last meeting minutes, so we'll bring it forward at our next budget.
Okay.
Meeting. We're still on.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll move on to item number one, which is public comment on committee topics and agenda items. This committee's work scope includes matters related to the financial issues of the city, including the annual and long-term capital budgets and plans, including but not limited to revenues and expenditures, sales of bonds, general fiscal and financial conditions, voucher approval, rates and fees, audit and operations of the city, including but not limited to facilities and properties, computerization, periodic budget and financial reports, and policy matters related to personnel. This committee may also consider matters not included in other committee scopes of authority. Okay, so this up for item number one, public comment on committee topics or agenda items. Anybody like to address the committee? Okay, seeing nobody on number one. Move on to item number two, discussion of financial policies. Is there anyone that would like to discuss financial policies? Mr. Gudowski?
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on up.
I don't have anything to hand out, so.
All right. Second on the agenda. Can you hear this, Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Is that mic on? All right, thank you. Mr. Chair, you asked me to assist the committee in working through your agenda today because you were informed the staff would not be in attendance. And so on relatively short notice, we started to begin the work on the agenda items as advertised. We had a fairly extensive discussion of the financial policies at one of your earlier committee meetings. At that time, the committee gave some instruction for your volunteer staff to do some additional research. That work is ongoing. There's a focus on financial policies that are done by other cities in the state of Washington of a comparable size. The idea being that, and your instruction, Mr. Chair, was that the financial policies be strong, but also something that was reasonable and could be accomplished with a city with limited staff.
Right.
And so that's the mission. And we hope that at your next committee meeting, we'll be able to have a fairly extensive conversation with those policies.
Okay.
Now, the third item on the agenda is a discussion of the vouchers and the voucher procedures. And so we've done some pretty extensive work on that. And I'll leave it to Leanne Garcia to introduce herself. We're very privileged, I think, to have some tremendous talent in the city of Black Diamond. And you and Councilman Morgan have been out talking to the public to encourage them to participate with the committees and to do research. And this is especially important since the staff has not been in attendance at these committee meetings. And so Leanne volunteered to do some preliminary research into these vouchers, and I'll be her shotgun on some of these issues as well. So perhaps Leanne could introduce herself and give you perhaps a little bit of understanding about her background as well. I was requested by Leanne to give you two handouts, which I'll give them to you now.
Leanne Garcia, Black Diamond, Washington. One of the handouts that you got was from the state auditor's guidelines from its BARS, which is manual, which is the budgeting, accounting, and reporting system. And they have sections on how things should be handled. I haven't gotten too deeply into it, so you'll have to bear with me. And again, I want to preface this with, I am not a municipal accounting person. I do corporate, so that private. So that's something that I wanted you to know. The vouchers in particular, the city should have adopted the four requirements listed in the 3.8.5.50. And
Mr. Chair, this is on page 4 of your handout. Ms. Garcia is quoting from the section in the BARS manual relative to voucher certification and approval. It's a two-page. And at the top it says accounting.
It says accounting, expenditures, voucher certification, and approval. And it's on the four requirements listed in the, you know, it's in 3.8.5.50. So
go ahead and read those. Yeah.
If the legislative body authorizes the procedure, cities, counties, and districts may issue warrants, checks, or electronic payments before the legislative body approves claims. To do this, the municipality must enact the following policies and procedures. It is required in Chapter 42.24 RCW. Number one, the auditing officer and the officer designated to sign the checks, warrants, or initiate an electronic payment must have an official bond. The amount should be determined by the legislative body but cannot be less than $50,000. Number two, the legislative body should adopt contracting, hiring, purchasing, and disbursing policies that implement effective internal control. For electronic payments, the legislative body should adopt information technology policies that implement effective internal control over technology used to initiate and approve electronic payments. Number three, the legislative body must review and approve the claims paid at its next regularly scheduled public meeting or for cities and towns at a regularly scheduled public meeting within 1 month from the issuance. And number four, if the legislative body disapproves some claims, the auditing officer and the officer designated to sign the checks, warrants, or initiate the electronic payment must recognize these claims as receivables of the taxing district and pursue collection diligently until the amounts are either collected or the legislative body is satisfied and approves the claims. Then, in your packet, the Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23 section, the payment claims, sections, where is it? The 3.23.010 payment of claims or obligations of the city. Which one? A. I guess it goes down to.
No, actually, I think probably all of it is relevant to the committee.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks like it.
So, claims. Claims or obligations of the city shall be paid by check or warrant as determined from time to time by the city administrator to be the most advantageous for the city. And all 3.23.020 warrant and check authority. All warrants and checks shall be drawn and signed by any two of the following. A, the mayor. B, the city administrator. C, the finance director. Or D, the city clerk. And then the expenditures and disbursements, the finance director, city administrator, city clerk, or mayor of the city of Black Diamond are authorized to issue warrants or checks in payment of claims before the city council has acted to approve the claims only upon meeting all of the following conditions. A, the finance director shall cause to be submitted to the city council for approval, a listing of all such checks or warrants issued in payment of claims at a regularly scheduled public meeting within 1 month of issuance and shall provide for the review of supporting documentation by the City Council, and B, the Finance Director, City Administrator, City Clerk, and Mayor have each furnished a fidelity bond in the amount of $50,000 for the faithful discharge of their duties, and C, the Council has adopted contracting, hiring, purchasing, and dispersing policies that implement effective internal control. And then 3.23.040, disapproval of claims. If upon review by the City Council some claims are disapproved, the Finance Director and City Administrator shall jointly cause the disapproved claims to be recognized as receivables to pursue collection diligently until the amounts disapproved are collected or until the City Council is satisfied and approves the claims. I don't know if there's any documentation that the city has adopted these policies, and I'm thinking that the committee may wish to request these policies from the mayor and staff, and in the alternative, the council must approve all claims before they are paid. And let's see, my notes are. Sorry, I apologize. I'm kind of flipping through papers here and I'm not seeing one of my notes.
This isn't it, is it? But I.
Yes. Okay. And then we want to go through.
Yes. Here you go.
Thank you. Then we have the ordinance 8, we'll actually hand out the 8-850 on payment of claims. It's the ordinance. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Black Diamond, King County, Washington, deleting Chapter 3.24 and 3.28 of the Black Diamond Municipal Code and creating a new Chapter 3.23 of the Black Diamond Municipal Code regarding payment of city claims or obligations.
Ms. Garcia is referring in your packet. It's about midway through, and it's an ordinance that is ordinance number 08-850. It was adopted in 2008 by the City Council that authorized for the first time this procedure whereby claims could be paid prior to council approval, provided certain conditions were met. And those conditions mirror the language that Ms. Garcia read to you from the auditor's bars manual. And I believe that she is, the section that's applicable is 3.23.03, and which stipulates the conditions under which the ordinance 08-850 could be implemented. Perhaps you could start there.
Yeah, and expenditures and disbursements, the finance director, city administrator, city clerk, or mayor of the City of Black Diamond are authorized to issue warrants or checks in payment of claims before the City Council has acted to approve the claims only upon meeting all of the following conditions. Number one, the finance director shall cause to be submitted to the City Council for approval a listing of all such checks or warrants issued in payment of claims at regularly scheduled public meeting within 1 month of issuance and shall provide for the review of supporting documentation by the City Council. Number two, the finance director, city administrator, city clerk, and mayor have each furnished a fidelity bond in the amount of $50,000 for the faithful discharge of their duties. And three, the council has adopted contracting, hiring, purchasing, and dispersing policies that implement effective internal control. Then there's the 3.23.040, disapproval of claims. If upon review by the City Council some claims are disapproved, the Finance Director and the City Administrator shall jointly cause the disapproved claims to be recognized as receivables and to pursue collection diligently until the amounts disapproved are collected or until the City Council is satisfied and approves the claims.
Here's the sample on that.
And I have some the in purpose and definition of internal controls from the bars. Internal control is defined by the Committee of Sponsoring Organizations of the Treadway Commission in standards adopted by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and by the Federal Office of Management and Budget as follows.
Ms. Garcia is referring to another section of the BARS manual that describes the standards for an internal control system for a city that works on a cash basis. The city, as you know, of Black Diamond's accounting system is on a cash basis. And so the document that you see in your packet is about a 4-page document which describes what are basic guidelines for internal controls. And the reason that is in there is because if you look at the state auditor's standards and the Black Diamond Municipal Code standards for paying bills prior to council approval, there's a requirement that you have internal controls in place adopted by the City Council. And so the question is, okay, what are those? Leanne and I were unable to find any evidence that those internal controls have been adopted by the council. We went through the resolutions and the ordinances since 2008, and we saw no evidence of this. If that's the case, then that means the That means that the city does not have authority to pay any bills prior to the council's approval until such time as those internal controls get adopted. So the question becomes, what would those internal controls look like? And the guidelines for those internal controls are found in the BARS manual, which is the section that Leanne read. We've been putting our heads together for the last little while to try to figure out if we might be missing something, but it strikes us that the committee may wish to send correspondence immediately to the mayor and say that you would like to see some documentation that the city has complied with 3.23.02 subsection
3.23.
C, subsection C. So the Black Diamond Municipal Code section that's applicable is 030, subsection C, which says that the council has adopted contracting, hiring, purchasing, and dispersing policies that implement effective internal control. Now, in the back of your packet, we also included financial policies. I'm addressing this because financial policies is a topical area that I have been working on. And in reading the financial policies, there is no language that talks about internal controls or that provides for an effective system of internal controls. So it's not on your website, it's not in the code, it's not in an ordinance or resolution that appears to have been adopted. And so unless there's evidence that it exists somewhere, the city may appear to be in violation of this RCW that requires that those policies be in place. The effect of this is that the council would have to approve every expenditure prior to payment. And of course, that would be quite awkward and difficult, and it could result in late charges and so forth. And so that's the work that Leanne and I were collaborating on. We want to both emphasize to the committee that we're not legal advisors. I have experience in municipal budgeting because I was on the King County Council and because of my educational background. And Leanne is a professional in accounting and in the corporate world. And so we've applied some common sense to what we see is in the code. And this is what we have identified as a emerging issue for you.
I have also been doing a little bit of study, and there was a few things that I highlighted here that I wanted sort of to read out. One is the certification page that comes with our vouchers, the checks, and the money going out. And the requirement for certification, I think, is on this page. It says, I understand, I, the undersigned, do hereby certify under the penalty of perjury that the materials have been furnished, the services rendered, and the labor performed as described herein, and that the claim is just due and unpaid obligation against the city of Black Diamond, and that I am authorized to authenticate and certify said claim. And I think that part is well taken care of, but when I'm looking, and actually I got this RCW from the auditor's website, and there is something here that sort of twigged my interest. Local Government Accounting Uniform System of Accounting, it's RCW 4309-200. And in the last paragraph...
Councilor Morgan, could you please give me that citation again?
4309-200.
Okay, thank you.
And you know, it calls out, let's LLC. The state auditor shall formulate, prescribe, and install a system of accounting and reporting for all local governments, which shall be uniform for every public institution and every public office and every public account of the same class. The system shall exhibit true accounts and detailed statements of funds collected, received, and expended for the account of the public for any purpose whatsoever and by all public officers, employees, or other persons. The accounts shall show the receipt, use, and disposition of all public property and the income, if any, derived therefrom. All sources of public income and the amounts due and received from each source. And then I highlighted this part. All receipts, vouchers, and other documents kept or required to be kept necessary to isolate and prove the validity of every transaction. All statements and reports made or required to be made for the internal administration of the office to which they pertain, and all reports published or required to be published for the information of the people regarding any and all details of the financial administration of public affairs. And I thought that was interesting because some of the answers we've had don't think exactly steam up.
Councilmember Morgan, did you want me to comment on that, or do any additional research?
I'd be interested if there's another explanation.
Well, no, actually, you've identified a very clear issue, and the thinking goes like this: the city council, it's clear from reading the BARS manual from the state auditor, and that the city council has responsibility to ensure that expenditures are proper and that expenditures are matched with an invoice, are matched with an authority by the purchasing, and that there's documentation as to whether it has the item or the service has been received. The city council has the responsibility to ensure that. Now, the city council has to approve those claims, but state law authorizes the mayor to pay the claims prior to council approval. But in order to do that, in order to have that system, the state law requires, and the Black Diamond Municipal Code requires, that three conditions have to be met. And the one condition is that two people have to sign it, the claim. And it can be either the mayor, the city administrator, the finance director, or the city clerk. So the document that you referenced is attested to by one individual. But in fact, in order to comply with the Black Diamond Municipal Code and the BARS manual from the auditor and state law, there would have to be two signatures. Then the second condition that must be met is that the individuals that are signing those documents must have an official bond. And that bond needs to be in the amount of $50,000. That's a personal bond. And so the city council would want to have some documentation that exists. The other requirement is that within a month, there should be a process whereby if the mayor pays an expenditure, authorizes paying the expenditure, that within a month that is reported to the council. There's a 30-day deadline. So the question will be that the council would want to verify that documentation is getting to the council within 30 days. Then, and here's the sticky question, and that is that in order to utilize this system, according to the code, according to the law, according to the BARS, the city council has to have adopted internal controls that are sufficient to guard the public against the improper expenditure of funds. And that goes to what you're talking about, Councilmember Morgan, that language that you have to be assured as a council member, the council as a whole has to be assured that those requirements are being met. So how do you do that? Well, it's not enough for the mayor to say we passed the audit. You have to have some documentation that those internal controls have been adopted and are being implemented. And we found no evidence that those internal controls had been adopted by the council, but we could be in error. They could be there. We just might have missed it. And so you certainly would I would suspect that the committee would probably want to ask as soon as possible, A, are these four conditions being met? And show us the evidence that there's a bond. Explain to us why only one person has been signing these things. And it has apparently been that way for a while. We don't know that, but that's certainly what they've been giving you. And then thirdly, that those internal controls have been adopted by the council. Now, in the meantime, what do you do with these vouchers? So Leanne and I have been discussing this based upon her professional understanding, and you need to have a line, an audit trail that shows, you need to be able to see that there is in fact an audit trail that connects the check to the invoice, to the receipt, and that those are original documents. Now, in conversations with the state auditor's office, the voucher package that you've received from the mayor that's in your package is not sufficient for you to determine whether those vouchers are proper. That what you would need to see in order to be able to make that determination are the original documents. You would need to actually see not a copy, but an actual original of the purchase, the receipt, the check. Now, those documents are probably kept in City Hall, and you would probably need to have some mechanism by which the committee could and the council's representatives could have access to that documentation. And so, as opposed to coming to the committee meeting and showing you these documents, until such time as either there's an internal control that the council's adopted, or you're going to have to assure yourself that all that paperwork is being properly controlled, because the council has the ultimate responsibility for this. And moreover, if those internal controls are not, if they haven't been adopted, if the mayor cannot document that the council has approved and adopted internal controls for the voucher approval, then the mayor is no longer authorized to authorize expenditures without the council prior approval. And that's a very significant departure from the way things have been conducted. And so, if you wish, Leanne and I could get our heads together and draft a letter that you could send, or the committee could send to the mayor, requesting the evidence that I've just described. And hopefully, there's a logical answer to all this, and that the controls are adopted, and your volunteer staff just missed it. You probably want to verify that.
Yeah, we need to verify. I think we need to verify that.
Well, as council members, I've said it before, you've said it, we've heard it many times. There is that fiduciary responsibility to make sure we know what's going on. Just because it's always been done that way doesn't guarantee that it's done right. As far as the state auditor's audit, they look for, they come in with a certain list of what they're looking for, but that's not a guarantee that they're not checking under every stone.
They come in with a
specific checklist. So.
And that's what I just read out in the basic RCW.
Yeah.
One of the reasons, Councilmember Morgan, that we launched into, you asked several weeks ago, mm-hmm. You asked me originally, and then you asked Leanne, when you found out about her accounting background, to look into this because you were prescient because that language you identified set us off into a direction of doing some research, and I want to recognize Leanne who dug into this and insisted that it be dug into, And I think you have a, you know, something good to work on.
And also, while we're digging into that, I also noticed another thing. This 50K bond, that is predicated on how much money they're handling. There's some scale, and we need to be certain about that.
Okay.
To know what the bond really needs to be. And then, yeah.
And so you know, the key budget stuff that we supposedly have no oversight over.
No oversight over, yeah.
Yeah, that would be definitely something to find out.
I couldn't hear what you said then.
I'm sorry. I was just saying that with the MVRT budget, that's part of the overall city budget. What Vice Chair Morgan was talking about, to know if there was a sufficient bond, because it would be important, because that is a lot of money, and evidently we have been told that we have no control over any MVRT funding, even though it's part of the budget, so.
Well, you do. I mean, it's every dollar that's spent at the city is your responsibility.
I was going to say, how could?
I get that.
That concludes the vouchers section. I don't know if Ms. Garcia would like to have any. Do you have any closing remarks on that?
No, I'm just, you know, I, like I said, I'm learning and I'm exploring this and I'm going through stuff, and you know, as I come across, I. You know, we'll bring things up.
Sure. All right. All right then. The next item on the agenda, Mr. Chair, are we concluded with that section, with section 3? You want
to? No, I just wanted to bring up a couple things.
No, I'm talking about we would go to section 4. I'm wondering if you are concluded on section 3. Oh, is your microphone on, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, mine's on. I just scooted it.
Hello. Yeah, I guess you have to talk pretty close to have the mic work.
Is that better, Mr. McPherson?
That helps.
All right. Should we move on to item 4?
I just want to bring up a couple things.
Okay.
Part of item, we've had a pretty good discussion of the vouchers, and I appreciate all the background work that you guys have done and will probably continue to do. I am looking at contacting the state auditor's office as well to see if it be possible to have somebody come, possibly to a committee or council meeting, to give a presentation. I think that would be really helpful, especially for the public. Went through the vouchers that are on hand, and generally, you know, we go through each one of them. There was an expenditure for a 2016 3500 Chevy pickup, $32,911.19, or 19 cents, excuse me.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Looking back through the 2016 preliminary budgets, when you burrow down into the public works equipment, there is a line item that's number 9 for a four-wheel drive truck. It was budgeted $45,000 in 2015. It got bumped up $5,000 for this year, so the budget for that vehicle is $50,000. I contacted the mayor earlier today, and actually I contacted Ms. Miller and CC'd the mayor. The mayor responded that that was indeed what that money was for, that was already budgeted, and the surplus was going to, it was about a $17,000 surplus. The only thing she mentioned that would go towards, I believe, was, Eric, do you have that letter?
Yeah, it was budgeted there. Was the surplus of the 1788.81 Has there been any there's a question.
Yes.
Has there been any discussion or decision on where that money may be should be transferred within the public works fund?
And And so her reply, can you read that up at the top? It should be the first item.
Oh, the balance will be used to add equipment and boxes and safety equipment to upgrade the vehicle to the city standards.
So I just kind of wanted to touch base, you know, that's not by any means the biggest expenditure we have in our city budget, but it's a significant amount of money. And so, you know, I think it's important that the people know kind of where their money's being spent, or my money's being spent for that matter, too.
Mm-hmm.
The other item is on page 6 of 19 in the voucher directory. And it is for an expense for DKS Associates. And it was dated July 1st, 2015 to August 28th, 2015. And according to this, it was $10,000 for comp plan update dash professional services. And so, Ms. Morgan, can you read the second question down below?
Yeah. We were in negotiations with a subconsultant that hired DKS for some work that was not authorized. And this is the settlement of that account. Yeah. Definitely get away from it.
Okay. Just
I'm sorry. Sorry, could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
I'll repeat it. No, I'll put it in context by reading the question that I sent. So we talked about the vehicle,
mm-hmm.
Public Works. The other question I sent to her, the other question is with regard to voucher item number 43294 mm-hmm. for $10,000 to DKS Associates, which is on page 6 of 19. I understand it is for comp plan updating, but can you explain why we are paying in March of 2016 for an item listed as July 1st, 2015 to August 28th, 2015 services? And the mayor's response was, we were in negotiations with the subconsultant that hired DKS for some work that was not authorized, and this is the settlement amount. So that's the only explanation that I got for why we're paying something that's like 9 months later.
$10,000.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, this may raise a contracting authority issue, because as you know, the city council has contracting authority.
Yes.
This could be considered an amendment to a contract. And that has to have council approval.
Right.
And so it may be that the committee may wish to explore this further and to possibly direct additional correspondence, because approving a $10,000 settlement to a contract without reviewing the contract is problematic.
Yeah, unfortunately it was kind of a quick and lean answer. It'd be nice to have a little more detail, so I'll probably turn around and send a couple more questions to try and clarify that.
Also, Mr. Chair, you do have the option of a partial approval of vouchers. You could, for example, as chair of the committee, recommend to the council that certain items be approved and certain items be held pending additional review. Now, it could be that money's already been spent or been paid. It could be the checks have been cut. If the checks have been cut, then it goes back to our earlier discussion about whether that whole system is proper, and we'll figure that out. But assuming it is, then the question remains as to why you're approving these claims after they're already paid. Well, it could it become a payable? I mean, could it, if you don't approve it, then according to...
It could become a receivable then, according to the rules, if it's not approved, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's what I, my understanding of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Chair.
I'm thinking that there's probably a decent explanation. And I'm thinking that maybe we need to hold this from the consent agenda, ask for it to be pulled from the consent agenda, and ask for that explanation at a council meeting.
For the DKS?
Yeah.
Yes. I would say. So I will, like I said, follow up with the mayor or Ms. Miller to like to respond and see if I hear anything back before the upcoming council meeting.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Would you also like us to draft a memo to the mayor asking to see the original documentation to back up these vouchers to make sure that they exist or, you know, what form they're in? And perhaps the committee could designate the vice chair to look at those documents, make sure that they're there and they're in good form. And that way, when this item, when the vouchers come before the council on Thursday, you'll have gotten that bit of due diligence out of the way. It's especially important now, given the questions or the potential questions about the internal controls.
I think that's an idea with some merit.
Okay, is that something you'd be willing to follow up on?
Yeah.
Okay, appreciate that. Okay. Councilmember Morgan, do you have anything else that you want to discuss in your topic number three?
No, I'm done.
Okay. Okay, we'll move on to item number four.
Mr. Chair, the fourth item number four is the stormwater grant. This was not properly referred to the committee because the council needs to do that, and it has to be on the... Now, the council can do it by simple motion because the stormwater grant has already... Let me go back to the process. When the stormwater grant was introduced and placed on the agenda for first reading, per your rules, it was assigned to the Growth Management Committee. The Growth Management Committee has done some discussion of this topic and is raising questions about how best to spend that money. Because last year, the $50,000 grant was a lump sum and it was not designated for any particular purpose. It's just in the stormwater fund. So the grant is very broad. Reading the requirements for the state grant, there's a wide range of issues that the city can spend the money on. It has until, I believe, March of next year to spend that money.
Right.
And so the Growth Management Committee was interested in taking information in about the optimal uses of the funds. And the staff have been supportive on that and have offered information to the committee, which has been helpful to them. But the committee chair wanted to make sure that the budget implications of this, the whole idea of this taking a grant and a lump sum budget,
right,
and what the policies are associated with that is quite properly a budget issue. And so the chair wanted it to be dually referred so that this item would be reviewed by both the budget committee as well as the growth management committee. To do that, the process for doing that is for the council to vote to refer it, or the mayor pro tem to refer the issue dually to the budget committee. So it would reside in two committees, in effect. And that could be done at your next council meeting. Because this item has already gone through a first reading and already has been referred to a committee, it doesn't require, you know, that same public notice that's required, other than, you know, it can be placed on the agenda. It's a resolution, it's not an ordinance. So the recommendation would be that, but you asked that it be put on this agenda as a courtesy to the chair of the Growth Management Committee.
I did.
So that if there were any issues that you could get a head start on it. On this issue, I'd recommend, just from a staff standpoint, is that the sequence be that the Growth Management Committee finish its work first, and then have the Budget Committee then weigh in and implement where the Growth Management Committee is wanting to go with where the expenditure. Because the role of the committee is mostly a question of the mechanics of how do you go back into last year's budget and make an adjustment. In that light, we expect that by the end of this month, you should be seeing any day now a closing report from the mayor and from the budget office. And there may be, often jurisdictions have a supplemental budget request that comes in at the same time. And so that may be something that will be keeping the committee busy. And that would probably be the mechanism by which if the council wished to reprogram that money, the city would use that vehicle as a way of doing that. In this case, it's not so much a reprogramming. It stays in the same fund, but it's just laying out a different line item.
There's been a lot of good discussion on where
the money is spent. So yeah, there has. There's no time.
Make sure that it's spent where it's supposed to be spent, should be spent.
Right. And next year, you know, when you review the budget in November this year, you'll have the ability to determine how fine a level of detail do you want to go. I think your first committee meeting, we had a discussion of the fact that the city of Black Diamond uses a fund level budgeting system,
right.
And then it may be that the council may wish to go to a department level. That's something the council can do on its own. It's going to a budget level or to a department level. That would mean that the $17,000 surplus on that car, you would be asking the question, is it staying in the same department or is it in the same fund? Because the mayor doesn't have the authority to move that money away from one fund to another. The mayor does have the authority within the fund. Then the question becomes, you know, how do you handle those surplus funds? And the council this fall can make decisions as to what level of detail it wishes to go into, consistent with good budgeting practice and staff, you know, staff requirements, so you don't overwork the staff. So those are all horizon issues for perhaps for future committee meetings.
Yeah, because that's all, you know, that's what the budget committee is all about, is making sure that we're spending the money responsibly in the right way.
Right.
It is, you know, taxpayers' money.
Mm-hmm. And the taxpayers, you're paying a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next item on your agenda is item number 5, discussion of committee work program and future agendas. Work programs are something that I don't believe that committees have done in Black Diamond in the past, but it's a useful tool so that you're not lurching from one agenda to the next, but you're looking at what the committee's work is over a period of months. And you ask that this be placed on the agenda just for a preliminary discussion, and perhaps the committee members could offer any thoughts they might have about larger issues that you'd like to investigate going forward in the coming months. I would put forward or remind the committee that what you have right now for the larger issues are your financial policies, your budgeting decision about level of budgeting, and your we've added this the voucher system and making sure the voucher system is up to speed. You also and within the financial policies, there are sub policies that you may wish to look at. So that currently that's your work program for committee activity. And if there are any other items that you wanted to add at this time, this is an ongoing conversation, you know. So,
you know, I don't have anything right now. I think it's really important that we get this voucher issue figured out and make sure that the city does have the correct controls and all that stuff. That's not wrong. Because that has
Mr. Chair, forgive me, but I forgot to mention in that list also the review of the supplemental, you know, the year-end, review of the year-end update, or the year-end report, and the revenue forecast. And that there's typically a budget correction that comes in about, most cities do it around March.
Right.
There also is a horizon, or there's an issue as to the city's practice in the past, or last year, of every department, or the departments and funds, overspending their budget authority without council approval. And last year, at the end of the year, there was a supplemental budget approval that was required to bring the budget into balance. And there was a request for an additional $3 million at the end of the year. And that $3 million was the money that was spent over and beyond the budget authority. Now, a substantial portion of that, the majority of it, was for capital expenditure. And there are good reasons why during the year there's requirements to overspend or to request, to have more money in certain budget items. But the way this is normally done and the way that it's legal to do is for the mayor to send over a supplemental budget request and the council to deliberate and approve that additional funding. Last year, that was apparently not done. And so, in effect, the mayor overspent the budget by a very large amount of money. And this was fixed at the end of the year by council vote. So the question is whether you want to do that same system this year. And I'm not an attorney, but my reading of the law makes it pretty clear that you can't do that. You can't be overspending that budget. It doesn't have the authority. In fact, there's a fine. There's a $500 fine for each time if the mayor does that. And so this is a real problem, and I'm sure she wants to also comply with the law. I'm sure she has every reason to want to do that. Yeah. It may never have been pointed out to her by legal counsel that you can't overspend your budget. And so that may be something, that's part of your work program, is to try to work this out so that there's a better system in place.
Right.
And, for those kind of budget controls.
Working with
the
mayor and city.
Yeah, you bet. You're almost together, huh?
Yeah. We're all on the same ship.
So, I will say that one thing that has struck me as a bit problematic is that there never, in all these years when I've gone to council, to finance committee meetings, there's never been any accounting against the balance that's been where we can look at it when we're paying the bills. The balance, all the general balance, the balance of the funds, the individual balance. I think on occasion with some of these supplementals, when some of these supplementals came up when they knew they were spending over budget, I saw some figures then on those ordinances that asked for that spending. I'm not good enough to keep in my head those amounts of money and keep tab of all those budgets. I have enough fun keeping track of my own to know when it's happening and when I see it in a different form in a different place. And so I just think that one would be good to know about just the balance, some kind of balance.
There is, in looking at last year, there were some supplementals that were approved, additional expenditures mm-hmm. that were approved by the council, but they were few and far between. The vast bulk of the money appeared to have been not authorized. It was spent but not authorized. And so it's, and that's something we'd want to get to the bottom of it and document that.
Yeah.
Because that review wasn't as complete as it should, as I would have. You know, I think you should look at that as an indication, mm-hmm. but not the final analysis. I didn't do a final analysis report, other than just to, do a spot check.
Right.
I think also, Mr. Chair, did you ask for information, or did you, Councilmember Morgan, ask for information about fund balances? Did you put in a request to the mayor on that?
I did.
What
and I have not heard back.
Right.
Back in January.
All right.
All right. Is there anything else?
Not, no, Mr. Chair, I think, Ms. Gerstein?
I want to say, tell you guys thanks for coming out. Appreciate the volunteer.
Well, keep volunteering.
Well, it's really good when people come in and volunteer, participate, and get engaged. You know, it's not just simply participating or showing up. It's getting engaged and you know, digging into the weeds, because the devil's always in the details. So we discussed the committee work program. We have some topics for that. And as far as the next coming meeting, I believe that will be, should be on April 4th, which will be the Monday before the April 7th city council meeting. So hopefully we can get some answers in the next couple of days before the council meeting. Councilmember Morgan, anything else for you?
No, I think I'm ready to adjourn.
All right. Meeting's now adjourned.
Nice work.
I wanted to, my next project.
Let me get this off here.
My next project.
I don't know how to do that.
The.
Do you know how to do that, turn that off? Mr. Technical Guy?